Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. We are continuing our study of spiritual gifts. And we have dealt with one of them specifically. And we skipped last Sunday night because of our crusade. And now we're going to deal with a second of the spiritual gifts. And as I have identified for you in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, there are four or five spiritual gifts that are mentioned. And these gifts are not only spiritual gifts, but they are also office gifts. That is, one who has this particular spiritual gift may also serve in the capacity of an office in the church by the same name. But I want to emphasize to you that just because one has the gift of prophecy does not necessarily mean that they also are one who would be eligible to serve in the capacity of prophet within the church as a specific office. Listen to what he says. He gave some as apostles, and then he gave some as prophets. Now, that's the one we're going to deal with tonight. I want you to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, because I want to point out to you that there is also just simply the gift of prophecy, which may be different than the office of prophet. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to look in verse 10. This is in the middle of a list of spiritual gifts, and Paul identifies this particular gift in this verse. He says, "And to the another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy." It is both a gift and an office within the church. Now, as I will do each time, I want to begin by defining this particular spiritual gift. And then we're going to look at it in its biblical background. I want to read this definition to you. The gift of prophecy is the gift of inspired utterance. Now, those are important words. They're words you ought to put down as you are taking notes on this particular message. The gift of inspired utterance. In fact, many of the translations, as they come along, the newer translations will use that particular phrase to define the gift of prophecy. Or define the word prophet. The gift of inspired utterance, which convicts of sin and strengthens the Christian in his walk in holiness. Now, I want to emphasize to you that the spiritual gift of prophecy is aimed primarily at the church and aimed primarily at dealing with those individuals within the context of the Christian faith. That doesn't mean that it is entirely limited to that, but that is the major focus of the gift of prophecy. It is a gift that is used within the church to call Christians back into fellowship with God and to confront them with the holiness of God and with the holiness of the life that God has called them into. When a prophet speaks, he speaks primarily to the life of the church. Now, again, don't get it limited. Don't come to the point of saying, well, that means that a prophet never has anything else to do other than to preach to the church. But the focal ministry of a prophet is to God's people. I'm going to show you that from the biblical background and try to emphasize to you how pointedly it is that you can see that it is aimed at the church to call them into holiness. I want to tell you at the outset that as I understand the gifts that God has personally given me, this is one of them. There was a time when I felt it was my primary gift. I do not believe that any longer. I think that God has personally, as I understand the gifts that He has given me, that I have been primarily gifted with the gift as primary in my life of pastor-teacher. But certainly, I do believe this is one of the gifts that God has given me, and they go together. They're concomitant. They follow along. They work with one another. This gift is aimed at talking to Christian people and calling them into a confrontation with their spiritual life, where they are in their spiritual journey, pointing out to them how desperately they need to walk in holiness before God. It is a gift that needs to be exercised over and over and over again in the journey of the Christian life. That's why you will see that many, many of those in New Testament days who were gifted with this particular gift because it was a calling of people back into the relationship with God. I want to look at it in its biblical context. First of all, from the point of view of the Old Testament, this word in the Hebrew is the word Navim, N-A-V-I-M, Navim. And it is attached to the word for mouth. Now, I don't want any caricatures drawn of me tonight. All right? But in the Old Testament context, it comes from the word that is akin to the word for mouth. Therefore, you get the idea that an Old Testament prophet was one who served as a mouthpiece for God. He spoke the word of God. He spoke the wisdom of God. He spoke the truth of God. When you come to the New Testament, that same context is carried over. The word prophetia, we get our English word prophet from it, comes from the word pro, or to speak forth, and from the word photia, which means to speak the word, or to speak, and then forth, coming together, the idea or concept of speaking forth the word of God. Both of these words carrying the connotation of preaching, or speaking the message of God, and doing so forcefully and with power. Now, where does that leave us whenever you put it in the context of people as we hear that word used in our modern society? You can go to any modern storefront and you can find on those shelves, plastered on the front of many of those marvelous magazines, National Enquirer, Star. I mean those kind of magazines that will lift your spirit and will inspire you to greater heights in spiritual journeys. Amen? You can find plastered at about any time of the year statements that say, Gene Dixon predicts, or Gene Dixon prophesies, and there are a lot of others. In fact, you listen to many of the talk shows across America, and you will find that one of the regulars on their talk shows will be those who will be called psychics. And they will be put in the same category of those who are announced to be prophets or prophetesses in the knowledge of we use the word today. The reality of it, folks, is that the word prophet was never used in a predictive sense until medieval times in the sense of the English language. It was not even used in the context of one who was to speak from the idea of prophesying what was going to happen in the future. That context does not even come into it until medieval times in the English language. Having said that, where do we get the idea of prediction? And how do we come to the concept of a biblical basis for the word prophet? Now listen to me very, very carefully. When you look in the Old Testament and you see what a prophet said and what the primary focus of his ministry was all about, when you come to the New Testament and you read what a prophet said and what the primary focus of his ministry was about, you come very quickly to understand that a prophet was not given primarily to predicting what was going to happen in the future, but he was given primarily to speaking forth the truth and the wisdom of God. Now, any other concept of a prophet is out of balance. When you put at the forefront of a prophet that he was a predictor of the future, you have missed it 100% away from what the New Testament and the Old Testament teaches a prophet was to be. Now, I'm going to show you that from the Word of God. Another thing that is very important when you think about the predictive concept of a prophet is this. In Deuteronomy, the Word of God says this. Whenever you judge a prophet, you judge him on the predictability or the coming true of what he says. And here's what Deuteronomy says. That a man is not a prophet in the sense that he is inspired of God unless he is 100% true on every prediction that he makes. Did you hear that? A prophet is not sent from God unless he is 100% true in everything that he says. Now that just knocks out 100% of all of those that are written up in National Enquirer and Star and all the rest of those magazines. Because Jean Dixon, at her very best, will only hit less than 50% of her predictions in any one year. She's not a prophet or a prophetess. And so if you want to hunt out a prophet, you hunt out a man of God that's 100% true, that says, everything that he predicts, when the end of the year comes, it is proven out, it's a reality, you can stake your life upon it, because if he is sent from God, he's 100% true in everything he says. In the Old Testament, A prophet was primarily a mouthpiece, one who spoke forth the word of God. He was a divine, he was sent from God as one who revealed divine truth. The scriptures had not been written. In fact, even in the later days of the Old Testament, all they had been given were the writings of the law. And so the prophets themselves were revealers of divine truth. When God wanted to speak to his people, he would speak through a prophet, inspired of God, infilled by God, given the Spirit of God to speak the truth of God, and you could stake your life upon it. And so when you study the Old Testament, you find that they were constantly revealing to the people of God the truth of God. And not only that, they were spokesmen to God's people. And I want to underline that word, God's people. When you read Isaiah, Jeremiah, Hosea, Amos, and all the rest of the prophets, you'll find that those prophets were speaking to God's people. There is very little in the Old Testament prophets that is spoken to any of those outside of God's people. Now, I want you to get that emphasis because it is very important to an understanding of the gift of prophecy as we find it in our modern day. A prophet will primarily confront God's people. That is, he'll come out. He'll preach messages that are aimed at calling God's people into account before a holy God. He will preach messages and he will speak messages to individuals that will call them into account, that will help them to see their sinfulness as God's children and will help them to understand that God expects of them holiness. Now I'm going to tell you something. When you look at the Old Testament and New Testament, God unscathingly deals with his people as he sets a standard before them. And that standard is his righteousness and nothing less than the righteousness of God will do. You must live your life on the balance of his righteousness. And a prophet will remind you of that. Over and over again, he'll call you into account. He'll show you the measuring rod, which is God's righteousness. And he'll ask you the question, are you living a life that is holy? Are you living a life that measures up? Are you walking in the fullness of the Spirit of God? Are you living with God having anointed your life? And whenever you find a prophet, he'll always be asking you those kinds of questions. In fact, most of us don't like prophets. Did you know that? Because you see, so oftentimes they'll ask you questions that are so pointed that it makes you see yourself and you don't like to look at who you are. I've been under some prophets at times. And I've been so mad at them, I could just see red. Because every time they asked me a question, they were asking me questions that made me look at myself from the standard of the Word of God. And it was uncomfortable. There were many times I didn't want to listen to them because they were saying things to me that I didn't want to see about myself. But they kept pointing me back to the Word of God, aiming me at what God had to say about my life, and calling me into account. And I had one or two things to do, either to fall on my face and repent to God, or just rebel against God and go off without the anointing of God. And when you meet a prophet, that's exactly what they're going to do to your life. Call you into account. In the Old Testament, the prophet spoke to God's people. He would say to Israel, Israel, you either straighten your act up or else God is going to bring great judgment upon you. Because you see, not only did a prophet speak to God's people, but primarily what they had to say is that God is going to bring judgment. Either you change and repent or else God is going to judge you. And you know that's what a prophet does today? You see, dear friend, when a prophet speaks, he is calling you constantly into repentance, calling you as a child of God. And whenever you don't repent, when you don't hear the message that is revealed to you through a prophet, when you ignore the teaching of the Word of God that you are pointed to by a prophet has spoken to you the truth. And the reality is, when you have heard the truth, God then will bring judgment if you rebel. We've been looking in the Old Testament on Wednesday nights in the prophecy of Isaiah. And we have already seen specific examples of how God has spoken the truth through his man or through his woman, speaking the reality of what he wants to say in calling his people into account. And the truth is, from the book of Isaiah, when Israel refused to repent, God brought judgment. That's why a prophet's in trouble most of the time. You don't find Isaiah and Jeremiah and Hosea and all the rest of the prophets being the most popular one on the city block. I've already shared with you that I think one of our modern-day prophets is probably James Robinson. He's an ornery, mean rascal. He's also a man of God. Now, I say that because he is not one who tiptoes through the tithers. I mean, what is that? Flowers. Tulips. I mean, when you hear him preach, he is harsh, he is straightforward, he is powerful, and he comes down with a sledgehammer, and with that hammer, he brings about the judgment of God. He is not very popular in many circles. In fact, he makes me mad sometimes. But the same reality is true. He's a prophet of God, and God's people are uncomfortable when he speaks because he tells us the truth. And we don't like it. When you come to the New Testament, the same concept is true. In fact, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And Paul gives us a very clear example. Now, we're going to look at that chapter in detail later on when I talk about the gift of speaking in tongues. But I want to look at it tonight, some specific verses that relate to the concept of a prophet. Because you see, Paul says of all the spiritual gifts, if you're going to get chill bumps, if you're going to get excited about a gift, if you're going to covet somebody else's gift, he says, don't covet speaking in tongues. Rather, covet that you could have the gift of prophecy. Why? Because Paul will say it is through the gift of prophecy that the family of God is built up. That is, that the family of God is edified. And he says that through a prophet, the people of God will become what God wants them to be. And so he says, if you want to get goose pimples, get it over prophecy and not over speaking in tongues. Look in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But one who prophesies does what? Speaks to men. And he does so for edification, exhortation, and consolation. It is a definition of what prophecy is all about. Now I want you to look down further in verse 4. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Now, I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. For greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues. Now, I can't go on. You'll go out of here bent out of shape, and I don't want you to do that. He is not saying that in God's eyes, he says, okay, if you have the gift of prophecy, God says you're much better than the one who speaks in tongues. That's not what he's talking about. What he is saying, that one who has the gift of prophecy can bless the church, can do more good in the church than one who has the gift of speaking in tongues. That the church can be blessed in a broader spectrum. More can happen in the life of the church because of one who has the gift of prophecy than one who has the gift of speaking in tongues. He's not dealing with God's loving somebody more or less than somebody else. You understand that? All right. But he says, so that the church may receive an edification. The emphasis being that of all the gifts that are given to the church, this is the gift that has the most availability and the most ability to bless the church of God and to call it into a right relationship with God. Now, what are the three things he says prophecy accomplishes in the church? Look in verse 3. First of all, edification. That word simply means building up, strengthening, laying a foundation that is going to undergird the church. If a man has a gift of prophecy or a woman has a gift of prophecy, as they exercise that gift, they have the ability to strengthen the church, whether it's one-on-one or whether as it is exercised as an office gift to the total family, they have the ability to edify, strengthen, build up the family of God. Secondly, it has the ability to exhort. Now, that's a word that we're going to talk about later. It really has the concept of counseling. Usually when we think about exhortation, we think about it from the standpoint of hellfire, damnation, preaching, and somebody who is pumping you and challenging you and saying, let's go hit the wall. No, let's go climb over the wall. But that's not really what it's all about, folks. That word exhort comes from the word parakletos, and it is the word that is used to describe the paraclete. It is translated in John chapter 14, 15, and 16 as it describes the Holy Spirit. It translates as helper or counselor. And when we get to that particular gift, you will see it in the context of one who has the ability to counsel. But stay with me.
Whenever one is a prophet and exercises that spiritual gift in the church, they have the ability to counsel the church, the ability to exhort the church, the ability to guide the church and move the church in the way of being obedient to God. For that is the primary emphasis of one who has the spiritual gift of prophecy. It's saying, folks, we're out of sorts with God. We're out of fellowship with God. We're on a different wavelength than God. And now it is time for us to repent of where we have been and go where God wants us to go. And then it has the ability for consolation. You know, it's interesting to me that this spiritual gift has as one of its ability in the life of the church to bring consolation to people. Because probably of the two spiritual gifts, the two that are most diametrically opposed to one another is the gift of prophecy and the gift of mercy. And those two people who have those spiritual gifts probably have more trouble with one another than the combination of any other two gifts. Because the prophet said, this is the way it is. You toe the mark. There is no gray area. You either live this way or else. And the person with mercy comes along and says, well, God bless you, honey. Let me help you get up. And I sure wish you'd live for God. And I wish you'd get your heart right. And boy, I just see you hurting so bad because it's not right. And the prophet comes in swinging, you know, with both fists slinging, trying to get you moved in the right direction, yanking you up by the nape of your neck, grabbing you by the jugular vein and saying, you either get it right or else. And yet, Paul says that the person with the gift of prophecy has an ability to console the church. Now let me tell you what I think he's talking about. When is a church ever more excited? When is a church ever more enthusiastic? When is a church ever more satisfied with the way they are going and what they are doing than whenever they're walking in the will of God? I mean, when? When a church is out of fellowship with God, when we're ignoring God's direction, when we are living our lives oblivious to where God wants us to be, I'm going to promise you, you will always be out of fellowship with God, and when you're out of fellowship with God, you'll be uncomfortable. You won't be satisfied in your Christian journey. You will feel dirty and filthy and out of sorts. You'll be one who is wallowing in a mess. And I believe that's why Paul says, whenever the prophet speaks, if you listen, you can be consoled. Because nothing's better when you fall on your face before God and say, God, I repent. And when you repent, you'll be brought into true fellowship with God, and right living will become the pattern of your life, and the blessing of God will be yours to have. Now, I want to say one other thing. Not only does a prophet have the ability to speak to the church, but I want you to turn over in the latter part, about the middle section of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want you to hear something. Look in verse 24. Paul is here in this whole chapter weighing and balancing what has the most effect, prophecy or tongues, to the body itself. In verse 24, he says this, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or ungifted man enters, he is what? Convicted by all. He is called into account by all. And the secrets of his heart are disclosed, so that he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. Now, I point that out to you to say this. A prophet has not done his job simply by yanking the church up and pointing it in the right direction. For as a part of the ministry of a prophet has as a part of his ministry evangelism. And if a prophet is preaching the Word of God, I'm going to promise you evangelism takes place. When the Word of God is proclaimed, God can do things in our hearts. Why, the truth of the matter is, if one is faithful in the preaching the Word of God, even if they are preaching on stewardship, God can win somebody to Himself. A few Sunday nights ago, marvelous occasion, I was preaching on spiritual gifts, had very little to say about how a person could come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And sitting in the far corner of this auditorium was a little lady that stumbled into this building. And that young lady sat there and listened to me preach about spiritual gifts. And when the invitation was given, by the power of the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God to bring conviction to her heart, not what I was saying, but simply using the faithfulness of the teaching of the Word of God, brought to her heart conviction. She came and gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now that's what prophecy does when it is done and it is exercised. Paul is saying that prophecy is important to the church. because it edifies, it consoles, and it brings exhortation to the church, but also, when it is exercised, it brings conviction. And where there is conviction, God can do a work in a person's heart. The secrets of that heart are revealed. They are brought into account with God, and a person can come to repentance. It is a part of the exercising of the gift of prophecy. Now, how is that applied today? I think it brings its practical application when it is exercised through the preaching ministry. In fact, many, as they study the gift of prophecy, will say that it is the gift of preaching. I think that's partly true, but I don't think it's all true. And I'll be honest with you why. Because I see it as both a gift and as an office. A man, listen to me, a man can only serve in the office of a prophet, but a man or a woman may have the gift of prophecy. Now, when you come to the New Testament, that word prophet is very close and akin to the word that is translated to preach, and that's why that is used many times. You see, evangel is the word that is used to describe a preacher. And it simply defines as one who shares the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, a prophet has as his responsibility the preaching of the good news. If he is not faithful in the preaching of the good news, then he is not exercising the gift of prophecy. And if you have that gift and you are not faithfully exercising it in sharing the good news with people around you, then you are not fulfilling what God has gifted you to do. And so I think that a prophet, in practical application today, is one who preaches the message of God. That's why I personally believe God has given me that spiritual gift. But then I also want to say to you that it is exercised by men and women in the body. I've already alluded to what happens when you meet a prophet. Most of the time, they're not dainty in what they say to you. In fact, most of the time, they're blunt. They're coarse and they are forceful. But God uses those people, and listen to this, as heavenly sandpaper to be used on our spiritual lives. I've already told you my wife has, as one of her gifts, the gift of discernment. And she discerns things in me that I wish she didn't know. It's truth. And a few times she's had to take the wrath of Anthony upon herself, because when she told me things I didn't like to hear, I wasn't kind to her in return. Now, none of you would ever do that, I'm sure. Well, that's what happens when you meet up with a prophet. Whenever you meet up with one, they'll sit down with you and they'll begin to talk to you, and you'll want to talk about all kinds of other things, but they'll want to talk to you about spiritual matters. And when they come around to spiritual matters, you want to jump to something else. But they'll keep bringing you back to spiritual matters. And when they do, they'll keep coming at you and pointing at you until finally they get you to the Word of God and let the Word of God bring conviction to your heart. And you're not going to like it. But that's what a prophet is all about. And so when you run into one of those animals, don't get mad at them. Don't be obnoxious. Don't be uncomfortable. Just say, God, I want to thank you that you have given somebody in my life who is heavenly sandpaper that will knock off the rough edges of my life, someone that you have gifted in the body who can constantly, who cares enough, who loves me enough to say to me, hey, there is something I've noticed in your life that needs to be brought into account and under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And when they do it, don't get angry with them. Thank God for them. Because, friend, the truth of the matter is, if God hadn't given us some prophets among us, some of us would go on in our rebelliousness against God. Some of us would be headlong in our walking away from God. And if we didn't have a prophet to say to us, whoa, don't you go any further. God has brought judgment in your life and will bring judgment if you don't change. If we didn't have somebody like that, some of us would be lost to the cause of God for years and years and years. I had a professor in seminary who was gifted with this gift. And I love him. He was chairman. Now, this is when you really get tough. He was chairman of my doctoral committee. You don't want a prophet chairman of your doctoral committee. I'm going to tell you that. But always, Always. He could just see things in me that I didn't want him to see, and he would come to me. He loved me enough, he cared for me enough, that he wanted me to have the anointing of God on my life. He wanted me to walk in faithfulness before God. He wanted me to be obedient, and he constantly came to me, pointing to me where I was. Always. You know what? I've got a long way to go, and God ain't through with me yet, but I'll tell you something. I'd have been a lot further back if it hadn't been for him. Thank God for a prophet whenever they speak to you, when they preach to you, when they challenge you. Say, God, thank you for them. I think there are some tendencies that I want to leave with you tonight, and here they are. A prophet is one who prefers to speak to groups. You don't find prophets getting too excited. And you know, I think it helps you to understand people. Some people think, well, now, you know, you just shouldn't get so excited about wanting to have large numbers. I'm going to tell you, I'm a prophet and I want to preach to people. I don't give a rip about preaching to pews. And any prophet you ever find, they're more excited about dealing with groups. That's the thing that motivates them, challenges them, cranks them up. It's not a flaw in their character. It's what God has gifted them with. They want to speak to people and they like to speak to groups. That's one of the tendencies of a prophet. Secondly, he is very careful in his study of the Scripture. When you meet up with a prophet, they are people that pore over the Word of God for the most part. They know the Word of God. They don't want to tell you what they see in your life so much as what God has revealed from His Word that will help you by the Word of God being applied to your life. And so they very carefully study the Scripture. And if you have the gift of prophecy, you're one who sees the Word of God as powerful. And you see it as the hammer of God to deal in people's lives. I've already mentioned that the ministry of a prophet involves three aspects: exhortation, consoling, and the idea of teaching or proclamation. He is one who urges others to make big changes without much long-range planning. Now, I like this one because it helps to get me off the hook with some of you. You see, God has given me the gift of prophecy, and I'm simply sharing out of my life. You don't have to be like me, and I hope you're not, tell you the honest truth. But one of the things that God has done in my life in giving me this gift is that when I see things that need to be done, I don't want them done next week. I don't want them done tomorrow. I don't want them done 3 years from now. Brother, let's do it now. Now, that doesn't give me the right to be impatient. It really doesn't. Because one of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. But when you find a prophet, they are going to come at you and say, don't change your life tomorrow. Don't change it next week. Change it tonight. That's the ministry of a prophet. That's one of the things that will help you to identify whether you have that gift. He is one who has trouble being sensitive and patient. Now, I'm not talking out of my life. I've tried to go into the Word of God and find where these attributes are found, even though some of them reveal my own personal character. They have difficulty being sensitive and patient. A prophet is not one who has mercy, all right? And so they have difficulty being sensitive sometimes. They see the Word of God. It's black and white. This is the way you ought to do it. And when you start giving excuses, they don't want to listen. They just believe you ought to do it. They operate on the basis, to him that knoweth to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And so their motivation and the way they deal with your life is based on that verse. That's the tendency of a prophet. Lastly, a prophet is a part of tendencies. A prophet tends to be direct, frank, and persuasive. Go back and read the Old Testament prophets. Do you find Isaiah saying, now, come on, gang, let's get our act together. You know, I really wish we'd do things right. Do you read Amos? Go back and read Amos. Does Amos say, now, come on, children of God, you know better than that. You ought to get your life right with God. God loves you. He wants you to get your life right with Him. Now, I'll tell you what they do. Those Old Testament prophets simply say this: God has said, this is truth. God has said, this is what's wrong with your life. And God says, if you don't change, judgment. And the judgment is going to be damaging to your life and character. Judgment is going to crush your rebelliousness.
They're not real sensitive. They're very frank, very honest, and very upfront if a person has the tendency of prophecy. And for the most part, a prophet is persuasive. But when you see a prophet, you will see in them somebody who holds the banner of God and holds it straight and expects himself and others to live by it. Now I close with this. If you have the gift of prophecy, come out of the closet and start exercising it. You see, Peter said that judgment begins where? With the household of God. And when you go back and study every great spiritual revival that took place in the Word of God or that has taken place in modern times, when you go back and study it and watch and see, it has always begun, almost, I just can't think in my mind of any exception, great spiritual awakenings and revivals began when people are called into account for their sin and brought to under great conviction by the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching and the sharing of the Word of God, brought to a point where they sense their great sinfulness. And when they do, they become broken over sin by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And when that comes, God begins to gather a people, and His Spirit is turned loose in those people, and all kinds of dynamic things happen. So friend, if you have the gift of prophecy, exercise it. Now that doesn't give you license to go around and just start criticizing everybody. A prophet is not critical. He is simply spiritual, calling people into account by the Word of God. You don't have a right to criticize somebody unless you see in them through the Word of God something that needs to be said for their benefit. If you have that gift, exercise it in that sphere of influence where you are. Use it as you talk with family and with friends and with those who are part of the family of God. Use it in your Sunday school class. Use it wherever you are to bring people into account of their sins before God. And when you do, you are blessing the body. And we need it. We need it here. Now, if you're here tonight, and I preach to God's people, I've told you unapologetically I'm going to teach God's people on Sunday nights for several weeks. But I want to tell you something. Everything that we are talking about, all the exercising of spiritual gifts, is simply to help us as a family to function and operate in such a way that we can share the faith we have in Jesus Christ more effectively with you. And the God of heaven who has gifted His church is the God of heaven who came and died on a cross in the person of Jesus Christ in order that He might give His life and pay the penalty for every sin that you've ever committed in order that you might know Him as Lord and Savior of your life. And that God is here tonight. And He's calling you from wherever you are in order that you might receive Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, that He might forgive every sin, come into your life, and make you a brand new person. And that Jesus wants to come into your life tonight. Right now. And He will if you'll invite Him in by faith. We're going to have an invitation. It's an opportunity when you can come and give your life to Jesus Christ. If you're a Baptist, it's a time when you can come and say, I want to be in a church that is going to operate by biblical principles, where the Word of God is going to be taught and preached, and where spiritual gifts are going to be exercised according to the teaching of the Word of God. And you want to bring the gifts that God has given you and exercise it in serving in this church to reach this city and ultimately our world for the cause of Christ. I'm going to ask you to come and give your life to this church to minister in the name of Jesus.